Ja, hallo Satya, hallo Pari. So nice to have the possibility to interview you together at your home, at your place in Munich. Satya, I did interview you some years ago, but how is life going on for you? What is the main issue now? What is new? What has changed? What can you say?
I don't think so much change, actually. I think when you interviewed me, I was living in Greece, and now I'm living in Munich. So this change. I mean, I still have my same routine, you know. The life is still the same. I don't feel there is so much. So many changes that happened. My daughter is bigger now, she's 13. So it's just a new phase of life now. I used to live in the countryside and now I live in a big town. And I have my daily life every day as a mother, as a wife. And I'm busy organizing concerts, a lot of emails back and forth, and I play music, I still make CDs, and give concerts. That's on the outside, that's pretty much what's going on.
And inside, can you say something about... Is life very light, very easy? Are you very happy?
I'm actually fine. I don't ask myself too much question. Am I happy or not happy? I just live life day by day, and I have still a lot of joy by giving concerts and sharing this love affair. And definitely this is still very dear to my heart, and it's a kind of a balance between this sharing with people and this very day-to-day life, which is very normal, you can say. So I try to find a balance between both. Sometimes I am in Greece and I'm every day singing with people, and it's a very high and deep energy. And then I come back to Munich and suddenly, oops, here I am again. it's
going
shopping.
Going to the supermarket.
Cleaning, exactly, you know. So for a moment it might be a little bit of a gap, but actually I also enjoy that very much. I do find pleasure cleaning dishes or doing the laundry every day. And then sometimes when I'm too much in this, you know, if I do too much of that, I need again to come out and be ready for sharing and getting back in this flow of music and...
How much is the music in your daily life? You have times to practice, or you don't need any practice anymore?
I don't practice so much, I must say. Actually, sometimes I'm amazed how much the other things in life take so much space and time. I would wish to have more time for music, but I trust that as soon as I play, it's right there. I don't need to get back into it, really. It's pretty immediate, you know. I take the harmonium, or I mean, I have faces where also when we sometimes I'm so inspired that I have songs coming, like my latest CD. Actually, it came so fast. I had no plan to make a CD actually that year, and our producer after New Year's, after our Sylvester retreat, phoned us and said, do you want to do a CD this year? Which usually he never does phone us and ask us that. This usually we always tell him, oh, are you available to make a new CD? And Pari told him on the phone, yes, we make a new CD. And then the next day he told me, because he had phoned him in the evening, and then the next day he told me, you know what, I told Rishi, our producer, we do a new CD. I said, really? But I don't have really any ready songs, or I have some ideas and some things there, but... And then I couldn't believe, the same night, I had all these songs coming to me, and then the next day I told Pari, you know what, I have a CD, I have nice songs. So, it surprised me, so what I say is that I'm pretty fast in the flow again with songs. Yeah, it's a nice dance between this daily life and this spiritual expression or love affair, which expresses itself through music.
Pari, would you say you are a happy couple?
Are there happy couples?
Yes, I know one.
We are a happy couple, yeah, we are happy. We are happy.
Oh, that's great.
You know, being together with a partner, there's happiness, there is sometimes things that one has to talk about, to discuss on practical levels, but the joy and the beauty, if one is focused actually on more essential things, like on what is real and what is love and what is silence, this is in both of us there. I maybe talk more about that part than Satya does, but this is our common ground. Otherwise, we would be not really happy living in a kind of relationship when one is relying on the emotions of oneself and on the other. We always are founded actually in that what carries us, and this is the love for truth and love actually. So this makes a difference, I think. That makes us also a happy couple. Otherwise, the circumstances, they are everywhere the same in couples, no? When you have two different personalities, two different opinions, two different ideas, we all deal with that stuff too. But the way how we resolve all that is by finding back, in case one is lost in this kind of superficial things, finding back to the source that both nourishes us, and this is our love for truth. So we are happy, yeah.
And Satya?
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel it's like an undercurrent which is somehow connecting us. And like you expressed it very nice, there's never a need to talk about that really. And yeah, it carries us, it nourishes us. And it's a great joy to be able to share one's life together and...
It's not like you know, we go, what is the truth, baby? What is truth? You know, we love each other, you know. So it's not that we have to always talk about, is this really the truth now? Where are we acting from? This phase is all long ago over, and we leave each other the way we are. So this is a nice dance, actually. Also, two personalities dancing, having different opinions, and I think one can really learn to enjoy a relationship by leaving the other as he or she is, and this is quite a challenging thing actually, and it's also much fun.
And I must also say we are happy also as a family. It's really a great gift to be able to see one's daughter growing up and going through different phases, but the undercurrent, like the current, is really we are happy also together. You know, sometimes I might have one hear so much about puberty, and I, so far with Mira, it's quite easy. I mean, you never know, you know, it can change. But so sometimes I had fears, oh, how would it be? But there's so much love also with Mira. It's a great gift.
So it's nice to give this also a chance to, you know, we don't have a household where spirituality has to be always like the or non-duality, because we come from that deeply, deeply, deeply in love, that we have to put it like a new God in this house, that everybody has to behave according to that. We live each and everybody according to his own inner truth, basically, as a wife, as a husband, as a daughter which we have, it's not like a demand for always focusing on something special, that we have to follow something. Not at all. So we have now a child in puberty, and as the song goes, puberty is coming our way, or something like this. So we have to deal also with the normal issues of that, which is actually in a very mild and very sweet version. To see a child growing up and going through that phase, it's a beautiful gift. So this is also part of our relationship also, because we are also parents. No? And there's no really demand for anything else other than to do what needs to be done.
Satya, and to find the balance between being alone by yourself and being with a partner and with a daughter, with a family, is it life flowing just the way it is, and or sometimes you have to look, oh no, now I want to be more by my own, or is it just natural, or is it a problem, or?
No, it's not a problem. We find one. I find ways if I want to be alone. And this house actually is quite nice because we have quite some floors. And so if I want to be alone, I just go the way. And you don't feel at all what's going on down. You know, sometimes if you speak Greek with her, it can be quite loud, and I might not be in this mood. Or so I just go. But no, actually, it's pretty in the flow, and I find a ways if I want to be alone, but it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for you, Paul?
Well, me too. Sometimes they speak French so loud and so penetratingly in another culture that one doesn't really understand if you're not French. So I find my little cave also in that house to enjoy my being alone and my silence for myself also. This is very much appreciated that. Yes, I do.
You met in Lucknow, is this
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
I heard there's something going on, or there was. Is there still a satsang house, or what is happening there? Maybe you know more.
Well, yeah, there is the satsang house that Papaji used to give satsang in the last 7, 8, 9 years. Basically, this is being preserved by a couple that remains and still lives in Lucknow. That is the man that was actually running the satsang house, and he decided, which is actually great, to have it as an open place for people to visit. It's becoming already a little bit like a pilgrimage place. Many people from the West want to see where actually did that happen, that now it evolved in a quite a big wave of satsang, which is all started right in that house there in Lucknow, in that little suburb where Papaji used to live, just a few hundred yards away from that. And his house is also being now part of that pilgrimage, and this is still existing, and I find it's a great idea.
You have been there? Or?
Never ever met, went back again actually. After Lucknow was kind of over and finished, there was also no plan, and Papaji never spoke about anything that would have to follow that.
It was actually amazing
it
how fast people went. Within 1 week,
yeah.
People had sold their things, and I was amazed how fast. Some remained, but most people left,
yeah.
And it was amazing. Wow, within a week, everybody had sold everything. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, Lucknow was not a very pleasant city to be, you know. I mean, I liked Lucknow,
well,
but
after a few years, it was actually...
You get used to
it. Yeah, one gets used to everything. I find it almost
yeah.
romantic.
Yeah.
But it was very polluted. So
yes, right. And the climate was not so easy. Or
also,
it's not so
yeah,
easy.
Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a crocodile farm.
Crocodile farm.
It's a
yeah.
forest.
Yes. That's
yeah.
where we went to take some breath in between. That's right. And that all exists, and it's somehow now available for people to visit. And I find it great. I find it really great. And I wish, maybe next year when we go to India to make a little tour, I would love to visit again. There are
yeah,
some friends
yeah.
also settled there.
Yeah, I heard last year or this year Gangaji went there.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah.
yes.
We heard that too.
Base also.
Yeah, another friend of ours, Brandon Bays, is having this in her yearly yatra that she does pilgrimage tour with a seminar connected. Also, she's going to that place in Lucknow. And now Gangaji and Eli were there too with a retreat. That would be fun. To see the old path.
Yeah, it will happen one day. You know, we are still a bit, because of the school, we are not as free to travel as...
We are trapped in dualism. We are trapped in this dualistic lifestyle of papa, mama, and school and all that. So here the wish is to go and there the responsibility is... Oh, terrible dualism.
How about Tiruvannamalai? You have been also there. You can say something about that place.
Yes. She was there before me.
I was
me,
there
actually.
While Papaji was still alive. Hmm. I mean, he used to tell people to go and visit this place. He said it's the heart of the universe. And I was lucky. I was there in 93 before it became so 1993 and. Before it became so big, eh? There were not so many people at that time. And for me, it was very strong to be there. The presence of the mountain, it felt like being with a guru, really. I would have never imagined that. And I thought, if I felt the need to be still with a guru after Papaji died, I thought this would be the place I would like to maybe live even or be as much as possible. So yeah, I would advise people to go there. It's really strong. And after Papaji died also, we met many friends from Lucknow. We ended up there 1 year after he died, and we had an amazing time there. We were having parties every day and singing a lot, and it was so beautiful that it happened there after he had died. It for me, it felt like it was then the how you say in French, you say la boucle.
Bridge?
No.
Boucle. What could that
be? You know, when he died, for me it was quite strong still, although he had prepared us. But after I was there in Tiru, it felt, oh yeah, it's fine now. It's
getting round.
It was round, yeah. It was, and it was beautiful that this happened at the mountain. Mm-hmm. It felt for me, I didn't need to look after that for another guru, or I felt really it's something settled inside. Yeah.
That's right. If one looks for physical reminders about Papaji's presence, actually it leads also directly to Tiruvannamalai. He never stopped talking about his master, and every day before starting his satsang, he was always worshipping first his master, Ramana. Always the satsang was starting with homage to his guru. So we were all, being there or not, or having visited Tiruvannamalai or not, all quite accustomed and used to this place. And in my personal case, it was, I think, in 99. This was basically 2 years after Papaji had left his body. We visited that place, and I was really amazed about the beauty and the depth of the spiritual power that spot has. It is definitely a power spot in the universe and on this planet. It's,
you have also been with Osho, Pari. You also
long time.
You later on you went to Pune, or?
Yes, I did once, actually. Not later on, but during Lucknow. I went once or twice there, partially to meet my friends, because I had a lot of friends there, and partially also to dissolve my household. I was having a flat there, and just to have a look again how it was after Papaji, after Osho-ji had lost his body. So there was Osho-ji and Papaji, and for me it was really interesting to see how much Osho was right when he was always pointing out to the fact that the Master is the presence. So I was not a little bit, but very much surprised how much and how many friends were accustomed to the physical form of the master, and not everybody could have so much tolerance to see that I was attracted actually to another physical form of that same non-physical essence. Many had some problems with that, to say like that, but I enjoyed the place and I would not mind to visit that place, because I feel also a strong connection, as I always did with Osho, with that beautiful presence of his, which I was so lucky to experience many years. Actually, it opened my eyes also to that incredible gift that he was sharing, and I could not quite get it and understand it in that depth, I think, like I could after I had met another master. He had opened my eyes for that beautiful presence and indescribable wisdom of Osho.
I sometimes feel when people who have never been with Osho or now talk about him and say, yes, he said something good and he said something not good, and I feel a little bit like hurt a little bit, that they don't really don't know, they didn't drink him, they didn't feel him, and now they talk about him like, it's that different. Huh?
It's a sad fact, sorry. Mm-hmm. Want to say something?
No, often people don't realize that he might have said something to that person, you know, and it, for that person this was meaningful. And to somebody else, he might have said something totally different, you know, and then people make books out of it, and then it doesn't make sense, because, of course, like when I was also in the beginning in Pune with Osho, sometimes I read books and I was a bit confused, because I thought, how can he say this? And then you page it later, you see, he said the contrary.
He loved to confuse people,
And also, often people don't realize, you know, when they come to your satsang, or how much it is important that they ask their question, you know, because first of all, it needs courage to do that, and second, you get the answer that you deserve, you know, and or that comes in that moment, and it's not so much about getting information, but more of having an experience, you know. So, yeah, people can't, if they didn't meet a master or could ask them, that they cannot understand this simply.
For me, really definitely clear, Osho was an amazing, amazing master. It's still very much present, so many moments and so many insights that were somewhere stored in the depth of my inner experiential field, you can say, which I knew they were very precious, but they did not make quite sense, and they were still trying to get analyzed by me. And now there are so many little pops here and pop-ups there, it's like, ah! And this experience with Osho is amazingly beautiful and deep, much more than I ever thought before. So this is really this funny thing I can only say about myself. It's maybe not so many people who see it like that. Even my love for what I ever experienced with Osho is being deepening since then. And I don't judge him like many would do, like as the social interested guru, or the guru of the special ones and of this and that, and the guru of the rich and the sex guru and all these nicknames that one gave him, which really don't come close to that phenomenon. It was an indescribable phenomenon, this man, and Papaji actually acknowledged him in many ways, which was good for me to hear that he said, oh, your master has prepared you very well for what is coming now for you. I heard him literally saying this and speaking this many times, and in some other occasions also, that he was valuing Osho's sayings very deeply. He used to say, what a courageous language this man. He says it pretty direct, no? Not doing ifs and buts. He loved him very much too, you know? Although their path, their approach is different. But if you are free, you are free. So there is no doubt about that. If you are free, you are free. And the grandeur of Osho became much more clear to me after I met Papaji. Could have been the other way around, but in my case it was like that. And my love and understanding of Osho is actually growing, and it's sad to see even some old friends, some sannyasins who stick to things that he has said, they kind of try to make a synthesis of the contrary things that he said about it. They're still busy with the mind and analyzing. It's a phenomenon of love and consciousness for me that was expressed in that form called Osho. And he loved the words, and so he was a master in that. And many get entangled too much in the words, and they lose a bit the feeling of this intuitive love affair with him. For me, that intuitive love affair, I must say, about my, has been deepening ever since, actually.
How you see the what's happening, the experiment in Oregon? How you see it now? In the now it's a story. Now it's past, but some people are not sure about it. How to see it now?
Yes. About the Oregon.
Yes.
Oregon experience. The Oregon experience was an, I think, first time ever done in that depth and totality. As far as a spiritual community is concerned, for me personally, having been there on the ranch, I lived there over a year permanently, and I was working there, and I saw the building up phase and experienced it myself, seeing Osho also almost daily on the drive-by and having all the friends there meeting and working together. I'm daring to say that it was a great experiment, and that failure of that experiment was also great. I don't have any bad feelings about that so-called failure, because when you're with a master, you should not get too much busy with success and failure. These are just opposites, like day and night, and they both need each other. The message is far beyond that failure. Many get hooked up and many dropped out of the community because they found Osho went too far now. This cannot be that he didn't know all that bad stuff that was going on. It is not possible. I must say, I myself had a lot of trouble on the ranch in the last days because I was not very happy with many things were going, and I actually confronted the leader of that gang in those days, which was Sheila, and actually I got kicked out for that. But in my love with Osho, never anything was doubted about it. I doubted simply the way this community was working, and I did not feel comfortable with that anymore. All these guns and all this safety and all this talk about we need to protect ourselves, this kind of a New Age American kind of explanation of a deep Indian old tradition of consciousness and meditation, for me it didn't make click, I must say. That part was always a little bit rough for me. I was more this traditional guy who wanted to work with his master, with his friends, with his sannyasin fellows, and do something great, no? And then when I was confronted with this American way of guns and safety, cleanliness here and there, there was something disturbing me there. I could not really get happy with that. But with Osho, never any problem with that. I found it great that it failed in such a great and total way. It was a total dream and it failed totally. So in my case, in my understanding, Osho fulfilled his total dream there, absolutely.
And you are totally happy with this.
Absolutely happy with this, yes.
Great.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Yes. And, Satya, you have also been in Oregon.
No, I came later. Uh-huh. I only saw Osho in Pune.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But what I heard, what you got out of it was that to trust yourself, no, even if maybe everybody's against you in that moment because you leave the ranch, or that to still trust that you are doing the right thing.
Well, I've had quite some experiences that my good old spiritual friends, seeker colleagues, they were against me. They were against me when I was leaving the ranch because I didn't like things, and I was talking about that I didn't like it. And the same good old friends, after they saw, wow, I was back in Pune after I also left the ranch, and after this world journey, he ended up being again in Pune in the good old ashram, and I was very happy there too. I was working there as a guard, as a gardener in many ways, and after he left his body, I was confronted again with the same distant, let's call it like this, emotions from my friends leaving that sacred place. And I was always believing there are no sacred places unless you stand on them. Wherever you walk must be sacred. There is no holy lands anywhere, there is no sacred places anywhere, unless you are the decisive point. So with Osho, actually, I learned to be responsible for my feelings and to go for it. And then, yeah, you might not be always loved by your friends, but but you're more happy for yourself in the heart. Mm-hmm. I have had this experience, I must say. It was sometimes painful because you have some, let's say, friendly expectations from friends. And then to see that there was something higher than friendship, like the belief system was higher than the personal friendship, this was hurting me. And I had this experience a few times. So, but also it was for me a great reminder to do your thing, to believe in your thing, and to follow your heart, to follow your intelligence, basically, and not to give responsibility away to leaders and commune leaders or ashram leaders or big figures.
Osho often talked about new men and how it's now going on with the new men. I mean, your daughter is in school. I don't know what kind of school. And school is very important for the young people. What's happening there, the conditional, that may be different than the conditioning that's happening at your place, at home. So, please, can you, Satya, can you talk about this issue?
Well, sure, for her it's a strong ride sometimes to be in school or to be with kids who don't have maybe the same interests, no? Like what we live together. But she manages quite well. Luckily it's a European school, so it's pretty multi-culti. So she finds her ways there. And I think it's a great way to grow up, because we cannot be against the society, or we still live here and have to deal with the society, with normal people every day. And so it might have sometimes some not easiness for her, but with the years I think she's learning to have more trust in herself, and to she deals very well with it, better and better.
The main language is English there in international school?
No, the great thing why we chose this school was that she started school in Greece. She had like 2 years primary school, and she could continue. There's a Greek department in this school, so she could continue it with the same program in Greek. And parallel to that, they have a second language from the beginning. From primary school, they grew up with two languages. And this second language, you can choose it. And we chose German because we live in Germany. So for us it was, and she was already speaking German. Yeah. Although she's French from me and also speaks French. So we chose German. And now she does English, and next year she starts French also. So it's a...
Living in Germany, we found it's important that she is stabilizing and speaks German as fluently and as well as German kids. So, and me, myself, I love German language too, so...
Yeah.
But what you spoke about, this phenomenon of Osho saying the new man, if I may add one or two sentences on that.
Yes.
For me, this is another hook that many people try to understand literally what Osho said here and said there. The new man for me can become like an old command of the Bible if you are now looking to make everything new and to behave like the concept of the new man. Then you create again an Oshoism or Rajneeshism or another belief system, while actually this concept of Osho was aiming at freeing ourselves from old rotten concepts of religious or neo-spirituality or new age concepts altogether. A new man, as I understand him, is not something to be followed, is to drop out of all kind of conceptual understandings and to trust the breath, so to say, just the innocence of not knowingness, of intuitive intelligence, of not even to believe in the new man. This is this paradoxon where Osho often, I find, gets misunderstood.
Yeah, you can make a concept out of it and then it's correct. Another prism. No?
Exactly. Yes. And then these beautiful, beautiful words that he's pointing at become another spiritual New Age prism. And okay, but you know, everybody to his own possibilities, and it's okay also. Osho needs to be misunderstood also, so that some other wise guys can say, oh, I understand him better. See?
And your daughter also likes very much music and singing, or is she's different, or how is it with
she
her?
Loves that, yeah.
Yeah, she loves that. She still loves that. At some point I thought maybe she might not like it anymore. You know, often when kids are teenagers, then they might not like it. They find it too spiritual. But no, she still likes it. I mean, she was really born in it. The first CD, I was pregnant when we recorded the first CD. So she has been part of every process of making new CDs. So she, for her, it's very natural. You know, she doesn't. It's part of her life somehow. Mm-hmm. It's
true. It's actually part of her daily life. It's not something that she acquired. It's so normal that we don't even. She knows all these mantras that we sing sometimes from within her belly. Like when we recorded the first CD, she was breathing actually together with Mama these things. And now more and more she comes with other clips that in her class, you know, they're going around, which the latest YouTube videos and clips from. So we get informed about
that's
the latest.
That's also nice because then we are a bit up to date with the world.
Otherwise we are stuck only with Jai Ram and Hare Krishna, and so we know also the latest.
Yeah, that's nice.
500,000 times clicked.
But it's so amazing. Like if I have a new song and I play it, she immediately realizes, oh, you have this new song. You know, she's very aware of that. I'm amazed, surprised myself.
Mm-hmm.
She's very attentive. Yeah.
And how you organize yourself when you're going to concert? She's always with you, or how you?
For that we travel mostly on weekends, and sometimes she stays as a friend, or sometimes she has friends herself. Wherever we go, she has her own friends there, so either she sleeps with them or.
She picks up her diary and then she says, okay, so we go to Cologne and then Berlin and Hanover, let me see. Then she looks, then she phones some girlfriends she has here in different towns and she arranges her own little tour.
Oh, wow.
This happens also. She meets this girlfriend she didn't see a long time. And sometimes when she's in a tight situation with school and exercises, we also arrange that she can stay here with some friend so that she does not have to move around with us so much. But as Satya said, we are pretty much limiting also our tours for that reason on weekends, so that it's not too much disturbing with her schooling.
Yeah, and we don't travel also all the time, so that she has also the chance to have weekends at home and go to birthday parties and... So we find a balance.
Sometimes she may ask you, oh, couldn't you do in that town a concert
so
again, because I want to see my friend.
Well, not again to that town. Let's go to that other one, because I didn't see my friend there a long time. It happens, yeah? She's very clear with that.
Yeah, and in summer times you go to Greece, to Corfu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spend 2 months. I mean, Pari goes there more often, because he's from May till October, he's coming 2 weeks there or three, and then coming here also, and then we are 2 months together there in July, August.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you enjoy the change?
Of course.
Of course.
She enjoys it because I will be gone 2 weeks and then she can do yoga as she wants.
No, you didn't ask
me. Go for walks and I will be gone. Then it's nice when we are back together again. It's also nice actually for, I can only advise it. It's sometimes good to have little off times.
Yes, yes.
We have a good way actually with that too.
It's my same experience.
Yeah, we have to, in the summer months we are separated often, like 1-2 weeks every month. And July, August, we spent together 2 months as a family, which is great. Because our nest still, Greece is still
our nest.
We have
our house there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you also have roots to France still? Do you have some relatives there? Mm-hmm. Or you go there? Or how it's...
I have quite strong roots there, I must say. And I don't go so often there. Because I live here, and in summer I'm in Greece, so it's there is not so much time to go there. But recently we were in Paris, and it was beautiful. I have relatives. I have an uncle who has a lavender museum, actually, in Ardèche. Mm. And this is my strongest relation there. But I didn't see him quite some time. Yeah.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
It's all my fault. When you met in Lucknow, instead of introducing her or driving her deeper into the French baguette, I brought her to the Greek feta cheese. I'm Greek, what to do, huh? So I took her from Lucknow to Greece. Yeah. The French roots, they are lingering somewhere in the back.
Yeah. But is there still any identification with nationality, or is you feel just human or European?
I feel
or
very much European, and then beyond that also. I mean, sometimes it surprises me in daily life how much people in every European countries are so much identified with being a German or a French. You know, it's a shame. But that, it's not their fault. Some didn't travel so much. You know, I'm born in France. I grew up in Switzerland. I lived 10 years in India. Then I lived 10 years in Greece. Then I live in Germany. So, of course, for me, I feel very much international. You know, I speak English the whole day.
Instead of French.
But I have,
because I don't speak French.
Still, I there is, you know, through childhood, and there is still a connection to France.
Yeah.
I love the language. I listen to some French news.
Oui, oui.
I don't feel any problem with that. It's. I think one can be international and still respect or cherish one's own roots. You know, family roots.
Yes. Well, this is in our DNA.
Mm.
Absolutely, you can be a human being with a universal oneness consciousness, walking around the planet and feel like a visitor and wondering, what a planet, what a nice people and what a crazy people and anything, and still your whole functional system of the body, mind, emotions, likings, dislikes, they are just trained in the first few years of your upbringing. And in my case, I really love when I smell somewhere Greek food. Something in my body is being attracted immediately. I cannot deny that. I have to admit, no? And when we went now to France, she was beaming. Just to be in her cultural nest where her body was raised, it is undeniable, a very nice experience, no? And I enjoy that. We both enjoy that, no? As soon as she could speak her mother language with everybody on the street, something in the body and system feels immediately, at home. No, that is part of our system.
And you recognize this if you're not staying all the time there.
Yes.
Then you, because if you're staying all the time,
you
then you don't recognize this so much.
That's
correct.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess this is with every nationality, so this has to be.
Yeah, you have some issues to talk about.
What should we do for lunch today? Greek or French? Greek kissing or French kissing? But this is too private. What issue is there? No, as far as I'm concerned, it's out-issued.
There are some new music coming. This CD is ready. You talked
actually,
this, which started in January.
Actually, you nice you remind us. This thing, what Satya was talking about, it started actually this year in February, I think, and it's already released. It was such a wave of energy that rushed through her in this specific case, and it's a beautiful collection of Kundalini Yoga mantras. Right now, actually her second solo album, right now I'm working on a CD with Praful together. It's more songs that were lying in my desktop for a long time and I did not work on them, and now I have a great chance to do it finally. It was a plan to do some more classic healing mantras together with Praful, and we are in the middle of the process now.
How this practical works? You meet in a studio, or you, mm-hmm. you just practice at home, or you have...
Mm-hmm. We meet in his home. He has a nice secret studio. I was just there last week before we were here at the festival. I spent actually almost the whole week in his house in the studio working at this on the songs together with him. And it's a great, fantastic work to work on these songs. It's a pure pleasure. And it's about healing mantras, specifically with this. Yeah, by the side, I also wrote a book about healing mantras, because in our concerts, often people ask, or after the concerts, what is the meaning of that mantra? So I felt the need to explain a bit from my point of view what mantra is actually all about, where does it come from, and specifically in my case, or sometimes in satsangs, people ask me, how come the non-Advaiti teacher works or advises also really highly, highly Advaitic kind of methods, and let's say more traditional, pre-non-Advaitic methods of mantra. So, and what is the combination? And for me, I must say, I love this technique very much, because it is focusing the mind. Whether you believe on it, it's another story. It does send definitely something to the person that uses these mantras. It's focusing, it's concentrating, it's calming the mind. So meditation is easier. And this opening in the heart is definitely enhanced.
How the mantras come to you? They are old mantras? You find them? Some people tell about them? Or
yeah.
How does it work? How they come to you?
In my case, the mantras, they came to me already in the 70s. When I was a young boy, 16, 17, I came across a mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, the so-called Maha mantra. Then I heard some music. In those days, it was after the Beatles days. It was George Harrison who inspired me actually a lot to go into that. And then some other friends who came from India, some hippies who were traveling through India, and they came back with beautiful bhajans. They touched my heart. And that's how I started to get interested in that. I'm not inventing any mantras. The mantras are all traditional mantras. Mm. One simply knows about them when one is interested. Here also in Lucknow, we heard a lot about mantras. First I thought there are only 3-4 mantras. Then I thought, no, there is at least 10. And now I know that there are thousands, thousands of mantras for any kind of situation, for healing even specific physical ailments, emotional ailments, and also some mantras which dealing with the freeing our soul, freeing our being into the reality. These are the so-called Nirgun mantras. They are formless, like the most famous is the Om mantra that connects us with the vibrational level of the existence in the universe. And it does something to us. It's working. That's how this love affair continues with the mantras.
But how it's working, you cannot explain, or it's not necessary to explain it.
In fact, if somebody thinks he knows exactly how they work, I don't think he really knows what he talks about. Because mantras are a secret key. How to unlock that mystical and existential, essential energy in our heart that connects us directly to the source of existence. If I would be able to express it, how it works, then I would also be able to tell everybody in few steps how they could get free and enlightened. And this is arrogance. This doesn't work like that. Mantras are being experienced and explained by really doing and diving into it, because after some time you don't even realize what you're doing, but something deeper than the realizing mind takes over. This I can say. They lead you to a point of practice, and through the practice, the practitioner stops to be even aware of himself. And that essential source of beingness, unlocked, becomes present and experienced. That is a direct connection to the source of life and consciousness. In the deepest sense, actually, mantras are direct bridges to our existential nature. Yeah. But how that process exactly works, I think by practicing it, one knows about it.
The both of you, you are so nice together. You, any time you had the idea to give satsang together, or
we are doing.
You know, it's funny. And recently, I thought, oh, maybe I could also give satsang. Not that I have a plan for it, and I have a that I plan to do that, but. Till now, it was like for me, no way. Or it's not something that attracts me, or simply... Yeah, but I don't know if it's to be called satsang. But I'm not open to it. Yeah, I'm open. You know, it's like with music. Whatever the music came, I never had a plan to do what I'm doing with Pari and give concerts and do so many CDs. It was not a plan, it happened, so I'm open, let's say.
But then how I see it, actually, when we are singing together, when we give concerts and mantra kirtan evenings, it is satsang in another form, in another format. Mm. One can do the satsang in the question answering or silent way, as I do when I'm alone. When we are together, we do it in the singing way. But being in that field of devoted to truth, let's say, or satsang, I'm not suddenly only a musician, and she's not suddenly only a harmonium player and singer. We are deeply connected to that same source of truth in the satsang. So I'm experiencing, actually, since we have been doing the music together, that we are also sharing satsang together in that format. No?
Mm.
Why do you change that format, that suddenly we sit there on two chairs, and yes, any questions to my female partner, any questions to the male partner? I mean, we can do it for fun, and you know, there is no why not, and let's see.
What can you say about your yoga session you offer, or what, how can you explain
why I do yoga?
No, how it's going, what is happening there, is it, what?
First, it's very physical. It's yoga, for me, it's a great tool, you know, to be more fit, and to simply, when you have lower back pain in the morning, if you do regularly yoga, you are simply fitter, you breathe better, you digest better. So, and the yoga that I'm teaching, it's Kundalini yoga, and we use also mantras. So for me, it's a nice platform where I also share the music and the mantras together with the exercises. So I think usually it goes pretty deep, because it's not just pure physical, but through the music, the meditations, the mantras, people feel more light simply after it.
You offer it as a regular group, or you do
so
it
far
on some?
I don't, actually, because I'm quite busy with music, and I'm also a little bit spoiled, because so far I didn't have the... you know, to start to build up something here, although quite some people know me, I didn't want to go through that. But I do it regularly when we have seminars. I teach, like now we have a Sylvester retreat, and I look forward to it, to teach every day. Also, it's nice because it's also people who are interested in satsang, in truth, in singing, and so it goes pretty deep when we do yoga every day together. And in our retreats in Corfu, or in our center, I teach regularly there. Mm-hmm. It's so nice in Greece, you know, people come, it has an easy flow.
And a single session for people you don't offer, or it? didn't happen to yet.
So far not.
So far
maybe
not.
Maybe a good idea.
If somebody would ask you, you maybe would be open for it. Or
yeah, why not? I have the space here.
In the third floor.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Nice you came.